Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello again, and welcome to another Holy Half Hour programme here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And this is not just any programme, for this is our 150th one. Isn't that amazing? We have travelled a long way together, thought about a lot of things, gone through many feelings, shared many broadcasting moments. Oh, I could just kiss you. And appropriately enough, that is what this holy half hour is all about. Yes, kissing. Is that not a bit risky for a programme called the Holy Half Hour? No, the Bible speaks 5 times about greeting each other with a holy kiss. And anyway, God made us with the capacity for feelings. And why else would He give us lips?
Say goodbye for the summer. Darling, I promise you this, I'll send you all my love every day in a letter sealed with a kiss. Guess it's gonna be a cold, lonely summer, but I'll feel the emptiness. I'll send you all my dreams every day in a letter sealed with a kiss. I'll see you in the sunlight. I'll hear your voice everywhere. I'll run to tenderly hold. Darling, you won't be there. I don't want to say goodbye for the summer, knowing the love we'll miss. Oh, let us make a pledge to meet in September and seal it with a kiss.
Isn't romance wonderful? Don't you think that the world needs a lot more romance? Everybody likes a kiss and a cuddle, and not just once a year on Valentine's Day. Have you noticed how kissing makes the world go round? I remember the very first time I met my relative from America, Monetta from Elgin, Illinois. I was a 12-year-old boy, and I was totally unsuspecting and completely gobsmacked when she burst into the room and into my life as an alien from another world, larger than life, open-armed, striding towards me, enveloping me in her long, elasticated arms in a prolonged and vice-like bear hug, climaxing in an overpowering, slobbering kiss. Well, it felt like that, and I still remember it vividly to this day. I, of course, reciprocated with the traditional inhibited Scottish understatement of hello, accompanied by no physical advances, just a coy, shy, blushing embarrassment. She must have thought we were all ice cubes. Speaking of ice cubes, even Eskimos rub noses. The French, being French, do French kissing, or at least formally peck on both sides of the cheek. I hear that there's inflation on the continent, so that some folk are now kissing three times or even four times on the cheeks. There's always somebody trying to outdo the Joneses, and that's not even in Wales. To be fair, Scots can kiss as well, when they have a mind to.
If old kiss and then we sever, if farewell and then forever, deep in heart from tears I'll pledge thee, warring sighs and groans I'll wage thee. Who shall say that fortune grieves him while the star of hope she leaves him? Me ne cheerful twinkle lights me, dark despair around benights me. I'll ne'er blame my partial fancy, nothing could resist my Nancy, but to see her was to love her, love but her, and love forever. Had we never loved so kindly, had we never loved so blindly, never met or never parted, we had ne'er been broken hearted. Fare thee weel, thou first and fairest, fare thee weel, thou best and dearest, thine be ilka joy and treasure, peace, enjoyment, love and pleasure. A fond kiss and then we sever, a farewell, alas, forever. Deep in heart wrung tears I'll pledge thee, warring sighs and groans I'll wage thee.
There is Mae McKenna singing Robert Burns's reflections on the different contexts in which we kiss and the varying consequences of our kisses. We kiss romantically, we kiss in parting. Kissing can lead to ecstasy or tragedy. It's probably better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. But that first fond kiss can be the passport to both laughter and tears. A journey Robert Burns, for one, didn't hesitate to make. But beware of that fateful first kiss, as Hot Chocolate sing here.
It started with a kiss, the back row of the classroom. How could I resist the aroma of your to marry you? fighting in the playground. 'Cause some good looking boy had started to hang around. That boy hurt me so bad, but I was happy 'cause you cried still. I couldn't help but notice that new distant look in your eyes. And then when you were 16 and I had just turned 17, I couldn't hold on to your love, I couldn't hold on to my dream. It started with a kiss. Never thought it would come to this. Started with
I bet you remember your first kiss, and where did it end up? Here's Alfie Bowie telling us that it was love at first sight for him.
The first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes. Like the trembling heart of a captive bird that was there at my command.
Here's some quotes about kissing. Judy Garland said, For 'twas not into my ear you whispered, but into my heart. 'Twas not my lips you kissed, but my soul. An unknown quote here. When you kiss me, without uttering a single word, you speak to my soul. Or the Chinese proverb, kissing is like drinking salted water. You drink and your thirst increases. Women still remember the first kiss after men have forgotten the last. Or a kiss is a lovely trick designed by nature to stop speech when words become superfluous. Ingrid Bergman. René Jasinek said, kissing is a means of getting two people so close together that they can't see anything wrong with each other. Or Helen Rowland, a man snatches the first kiss, pleads for the second, demands the third, takes the fourth, accepts the fifth, and endures all the rest. Or graffiti, you have to kiss an awful lot of frogs before you find a prince. Was that a woman that wrote that? Kissing can have a sharp edge to it. It can be passionate, physical attraction, or it can be used by Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. It can be authentic or deceptive. It can be a mixture of emotions wrapped up together, as Katie Melua tries to explain here.
I'd love to kill you with a kiss. I'd like to strike you down. I'd like to tie you up in knots until your heart stops. I'd love to kill you with a glance. I'd like to put you in a trance. I'd like to drug you with my scent and use you in the as you eat, the pleasure would taste so sweet. I'd like to open up your skin and wander there within. I'd love to kill you by a stream where no one can hear my baby scream, and then I'd run away and be free, the sweetest victory. Ooh. I love to watch you in your have power over me, and when you're awake I'm undone under your spell. In
did you know that the word kiss or kissing occurs 48 times in the Bible? It has a lot to say about it. We haven't time to go through all the different ones, but let me pick out one passage that's quite interesting. There was one day when Jesus was invited to the home of Simon the Pharisee. He was a rich, powerful church leader. It was a posh house. Posh houses in Jesus's time had a large square shape, and in the heart of it was a courtyard with a garden and a fountain. In warm weather, meals were eaten outside in the courtyard. When a rabbi like Jesus was at the house for such a meal, The doors would be open to let people come in, and people passing by could come in. So on this occasion, a woman who lived a sinful life, in other words, a prostitute, came in, and in front of the other guests, she knelt down and she started to wash Jesus' feet. She was using her hair to wipe Jesus as a towel. It was a bit scandalous in those days, because when a Jewish woman was respectable, she had her hair in a bun. When you got married, you did that, and you never let your hair down again in public. So she comes in and she starts to wash Jesus' feet, and she's crying with tears because she loves him so much, drying them with her hair. And she poured costly perfume on Jesus' feet, anointing him. People were offended at the waste of good perfume. The money could have been given to the poor. But Jesus warns to this woman, and he turns on Simon the Pharisee and his friends who are criticizing her, and he says, "She has done for me what you haven't done." You see, Simon the Pharisee was a leading churchman, knowledgeable about the Bible, a moral, upright, good man, but he was a bit cold and loveless, unromantic. The woman was a prostitute, a fallen woman, a despised sinner, with a low opinion of herself. She came in sorrow and need and repentance, in distress and emotion, but full of love and passion. Jesus condemned Simon for his coldness. He warmed to the woman and he said, "Your sins are forgiven." Christian worship and Christian daily living, like marriage, like life, it can become dull and lifeless and boring and routine, cold and unemotional and going through motions. But it ought to be, and it can be, passionate, joyful, romantic, exciting. We sing the hymn, "Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing." Those forgiven much ought to be much forgiving. Those who are loved much ought to be very loving. Animals mate, but people love. Nuns don't give up marriage. They see themselves as brides of Christ. They're not celibate. They're wedded to Jesus. Jesus saw life in romantic terms. I'm the bridegroom, and my people are my bride, and life is a wedding feast. Think of prayer as spiritual intercourse. Anyway, let's hope that there's more passion and more romance in our worship, in our discipleship, in our life, not just on Valentine's Day, but every day. Have a nice time, and bye for now. See you next time.